Seeing Dr. Martland's findings reported widely in the Eastern press, he felt moved to write to him. "I can scarcely express to you how gratified I am that you are doing this splendid thing. I am wishing you every success and assuring you of the appreciation of a goodly number of people." But it was, of course, the dial painters themselves for whom the biggest difference was made. Soon after Sarah passed away, Martland carried his testing equipment back into St. Mary's. It was Marguerite Carlo's turn to be measured for the radium that the doctor believed was lurking in her bones. She was in a terrible condition on the day he ran his tests, with her mouth, as it had always been, the thing that was most agonizing. The alpha rays of the radium, Martland now believed, were slowly drilling those holes into her jawbone. Despite the pain, Marguerite put the breathing tube into her mouth and blew. Just like her sister had done before her, she breathed as steadily as she possibly could. In. Out. On the day Martland ran her tests, the normal leak was 8.5 subdivisions in 50 minutes. The normal number changed depending on the humidity and other factors. When he checked Marguerite's results, they showed 99.7 subdivisions in the same time. At least, she thought, it would help her legal case. She had more reason than ever to want to win now. Following her sister's death, the Carlos had added Sarah's claim to the litigation. USRC was now fighting three cases for Marguerite, Hazel, and Sarah. Marguerite was the only one of those three left alive, and so she wanted to do everything she could to help the case, not only for herself, but for her sister. That was something to live for, to strive for, to battle through the pain for. While she was in St. Mary's, her lawyer, Isidore Kalich of Kalich and Kalich, interviewed her even as she lay in bed, taking her formal testimony so that, whatever happened, he had it to fight the girl's case. Yet Hazel, Sarah, and Marguerite weren't the only girls afflicted. That was something Martland knew, but what he didn't know was how to contact the others to get more girls to come forward. Some were ultimately connected to him by their dentists and physicians, but others came to him via a young woman by the name of Catherine Wiley. "In the midst of my difficulties in the summer of 1925, Catherine Sharb later recalled, "Miss Wiley again called at our home. This time, she was interested in my own case, for she had heard that I had been ill. She suggested that I consult the county medical examiner for a diagnosis." Catherine had been troubled by her ailments for a long time by that stage. She had seen what had happened to Irene. She had read what had happened to Sarah. She wasn't stupid. She knew why Miss Wiley had called on her and what Dr. Martland thought he would find. To her sister, Josephine, she said slowly, "It must be that I have radium poisoning." She tried it out in her mind, like slipping on a new dress. It clung to her, skin tight, nowhere to hide. It felt most peculiar, not least because Catherine was doing well that summer. She did not appear ill any more. Her jaw wasn't troubling her. All the infections in her mouth had cleared up. Her stomach, following her operation, was much improved. Her general physique was good. She couldn't have what the others had. She couldn't, for they had all died, and here she was, still living. Yet there was only one way to be sure. There was only one way to know. Catherine Sharb duly made an appointment with the county physician. She she wasn't the only one.